Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Joining us in a few minutes will be George Loki Williams of HumidCity.com. HumidCity.com. We've asked him to be on the program a bit tonight to discuss post-Katrina New Orleans and the first day of hurricane season, which is today, and some other issues that Loki will be able to enlighten us on. So when we get that interview going, after we talk for a while, if you want to call in with a question or a comment on that particular issue, talk with Loki, especially if you were affected by any of the horrendous storms that hit the United States last year. And we'd like to hear how you're doing, if you're doing anything, folks who listen to this program on the coasts, what you're doing to prepare for the storms that are coming this year. If we're to believe, and we have no reason, I have no reason not to, the scientist and meteorologist who is the official spokesperson for the National Weather Service, this is going to be a rough ride this year. And remember what Rick Santorum wanted to do about, was it 6-8 months ago? Santorum wanted to abolish the National Weather Service, totally abolish it, get rid of the forecasting that they do, and turn it all over to private enterprise, like the Weather Channel and these various corporate entities, so that you and I would, we could subscribe to weather news, or we could buy weather news. If Santorum gets elected in Pennsylvania this November, that would be good reason for most people just to leave the country, don't you think? God, he's another one. Ah, they never stop. They never stop, do they? I think last week I mentioned a young man, Victor Ernesto Lopez, who is in prison in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico. Actually, it's a Metropolitan Detention Center. That's the name of it. I don't know if that is an official prison or what it is. But I do know that this young man, he's only about 22, I think. He wrote to me, I think, was it his 21st or 22nd birthday, Kathy? He wrote to me, he's written me scores of letters. All right, dozens of letters over the past couple of years. When he was incarcerated in Miami, he and people in his cell block used to listen to Air America faithfully. And he told me some pretty funny stories, if there is prison humor, and apparently there is, of listening to Randy Rhodes or to my program or whomever. And when she or I or one of the hosts would make a salient point saturated with sarcasm and rage, the folks in the cell block would raise a rousing cheer about what we were talking about. Anyway, I've gotten to know Ernesto, or Victor, a little bit through his letters. And I mentioned this last week, he's not trying to play on anybody's sympathy. He knows he's screwed up, but the crimes he committed were white-collar crimes. This is not a child molester. This is not a drug peddler. This is not a smuggler. This guy got involved in writing bad checks and credit card fraud in the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, and the southern part of the United States. And he will, he'll tell you, I broke the law. But he's facing some hard time. He sent me a picture of he and his mother, of him and his mother, when he was, about 12, 14 years old. Really cute kid. And it's just heartbreaking, he's very articulate. Obviously, this kid is well-educated. I haven't asked him about his education, but his letters are extremely articulate. But a couple of weeks ago, I started to notice a real downslide in what he was writing. The letters were getting briefer, sadder, anxiety saturated. And I you start to look for certain key phrases and words from somebody who might be contemplating giving up completely. And some of those words and phrases started to appear in what Victor was writing. So I apparently he has no family. And I mentioned his name on the air, and that his mailing address is at my website, mikemalloy.com. It's right there on the main page, top right hand. Can't miss it. Just click on write to Victor or whatever it says, and his address will come up. Got a letter from him the other day, and matter of fact, we went to the post office, and there were four letters from him, one on each day last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The one on Friday, he was halfway through the letter, a couple, three paragraphs, and he stopped and he said, "They just came to my cell and handed me 10 letters." He said, "I can't," and he went on and on for the next three paragraphs. "Thank you. Oh, thank you. I can't believe you did this. We've never met. You don't know me. Thank you. And please tell the people who have written to me. I'm going to write to every single one of them. Thank you. Thank you." And it was just, it wasn't Kathy, it was just heartbreaking to read what he wrote. The gratitude from this kid, from getting these letters from you folks who have written. And he named some of you. He named, he just sat there and just furiously copied down. You could tell his handwriting just changed. He's writing down all these names in towns or cities of people who had written to him. And there were, he listed 8 or 10 of them. And to those of you who have written to him, thank you so much. Like I said when I made the plea, I don't ask for much. It seems like I'm always begging for something, right? But this is for Victor Ernesto Lopez. And so if you got a minute, just send him a letter. Ask him some questions. He'll talk to you. He'll write back. This kid will write. Oh, will he write back? So if you can keep it going. And to the people who have written to him so far, thank you so much. This young man is facing, they're going to throw the book at him. Because in the areas where he wrote the bad checks and did the credit card fraud, resort areas, they don't like that. They don't like that at all. Not that he wasn't living high on the hog. No, he was just running a scam. And he says in his letters, I never should have done it. I'm so deeply sorry. I've got this time to serve. It just seems weird that they're going to give me 10 years in prison. And they probably are. There's really no mercy in a case like this. You know the drill. You can rip off investors. You can be Neil Bush and rip people off in Silverado banking organization to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. And what's your penalty? You can't go into the banking and finance business for 10 years. Or you can walk into the nearest convenience store and steal $20 worth of fake food and wind up serving 5 years in prison. Or you can do what Victor did and write bad checks and be facing 10 years. So anyway, you know the drill. You know how it works. This kid has not committed crimes of violence against people. He's not pulled a gun on anyone. He's not beat anyone up. He broke the law and he's serving his time. But if you can send him a letter. The address is right there on my website. That would be great. Victor Ernesto Lopez. The last letter to me, he said, if I could just get transferred to a prison where I can hear Air America. I can't. Oh, my God.
That would be like Atlanta.
Yeah, right. It certainly would, wouldn't it? The other quick announcement here, the 9/11 conference begins tomorrow, the 9/11 Truth Movement International Conference. It'll be held starting tomorrow, the 3rd and the 4th, at Embassy Suites Hotel in Chicago. You can get details about this at 911truth.org, 911truth.org. One of the speakers will be TVNewsLies.org's own Jesse, whom you've heard me quote many times on this program. Professor Stephen Jones will be there. So if you're in the Chicago area, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, Embassy Suites Hotel in Chicago, the 9/11 Truth Movement International Conference. And details are at 911truth.org. Check it out, okay? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mr. Bush declared we'd won. Though we had not found those weapons, our search had just begun. Tell me, who hid the WMD in Saddam Hussein's palace? Nobody found it. That's because it came from Dallas. He went in without...
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken and Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either, so please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on Complete Insect Killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon Complete Insect Killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated sprayer. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Yeah, that's easy for you to say. Molly Ivins unloaded again. You know, she writes for Creator Syndicate now. Just let me share with you a couple of things that she said here. So Haditha, she writes, becomes another of the names at which we wince, along with Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo, and My Lai. Tell you what, Molly writes, let's not use the stress of combat excuse this time. According to neighbors, the girls in the family of Yunus Khafif, the one who kept pleading in English, I am a friend, I am good, the girls in that family were 14, 10, 5, 3, and 1. What are they going to say? Under stress of combat, we thought the baby was 2. Mohana Jazim, an Iraqi merchant, says, quote, we have a Haditha every day. Were those killed in Haditha the first Iraqis to be killed for no reason? Asked Ghassan Jai, a pharmacist. Molly answers, well, no, but we Americans don't count collateral damage unless we're forced to. We prefer to ignore collateral damage, especially if they're under 5. Jesus Christ. And then she mentioned something we talked about last week. Remember the Canadian National Post story that I talked about and immediately was bombarded, thank you very much, with corrections that the story was a fake. Molly Ivins writes, 2 weeks ago, Amir Tahiri had an op-ed article in the Canadian National Post claiming the Iranians have a law requiring Jews to wear yellow badges. It turned out to be a complete fabrication and has been the subject of much contempt among bloggers. So this past Tuesday, Amir Tahiri, the liar, was invited to the White House, along with other so-called experts, to give the president their honest opinions on Iran. Molly adds, with advice like that, our war in Iran will be a slam dunk. Jesus, God. I remember seeing that earlier this week, that this guy, Amir Tahiri, had been invited by Bush and Cheney and Rice. And what's up with George Bush and Condoleezza Rice, huh? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Something is going on. But he was invited. Amir Tahiri was invited to come in and brief Bush, a full-blown, internationally now known liar who writes things like Jews, Christians, and Zoroastrians are going to have to wear strips of cloth, colored strips of cloth on their clothing to identify the fact that they are not Muslim. And this is the guy who's going to be advising Bush. Well, after we talk with Loki, who's going to join us here in right after the next break, we're going to talk a little bit. I heard Al Franken talking about this today. Usually Al Franken and I never talk about the same topics. But I heard him talking about this today. I listened a bit this morning. In the New York Times today about the Bush and Condi making an offer to meet with the Iranians on a nuclear plan. And I listened to what Al had to say, and then I hadn't read the Times yet, checked it out, like, oh, my God. And then why Chuckle Nuts has decided to make this offer. And then I flipped over to the editorial page and read David Brooks today, who is one of the columnists on the op-ed page. The column is titled, No More Excuses. And I want to talk about those three intersecting stories today. Two of them, all three were in the Times. Two of them about Bush and Condi deciding to make an offer to the Iranians. First contact through diplomatic channels that the United States has had with the Iranians since 1979, since they took our embassy staff hostage. What was it, 40 of the CIA agents who worked there. And remember, that's how Nightline got its start, was reporting on the Iranian hostage crisis. You know, the Iranians just couldn't take a joke. That was in 1979, and 26 years earlier we had overthrown their government and installed the Shah of Iran. And then, of course, the Shah was overthrown in turn by the a revolution of sorts, and the Ayatollah Khomeini took over. And the Iranians just said, well, you know, we're kind of pissed off about this. So they took our people hostage. And you remember, if you don't, look it up. A lot of you folks are very young, but this is 1970, 1980. It's what got Reagan elected, because the Republicans even back then started claiming that Jimmy Carter was, you know, had no starch in his spine, so to speak, didn't know how to handle the Iranians. And, of course, while all that was going on, George Herbert Walker Bush, working behind the scenes, was convincing the Iranians to continue to hold Americans hostage until after the election. Republicans are filthy, filthy creatures. They really are. All right. That's a long way to say whatever the hell it was I started out to say. Have no idea. All right, after the break, stay here, because I want you to hear what Loki has to say. Humidcity.com. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Listen up, people. The Ghanaian Vermont American Bits and Blades proudly supports the Unmet Needs Program to help military families. Now lend your support. Hey, you could be flying on American Airlines to my celebrity golf weekend in Washington, D.C. and be part of a special tape and a mail call. So get moving. Look for my display and enter. By Vermont American, every purchase helps military families. Do it today or drop and give me 20. Semper Fi, carry on.
soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
It's about 25 before the hour. Okay, if you did your homework, like I suggested at the top of the program, you went to humidcity.com and checked out the website. If you go to humidcity.com/about, you'll get this. Humid City started off on Blogger in early 2005, devoted to the unexplored sides of New Orleans, art and music, and that direction changed radically on the 28th of August, just like everything else related to New Orleans. And it says a lot more. And then it says, since then, Humid City has been an ongoing stream of commentary and opinion, a voice in the wilderness of post-Katrina New Orleans. Humid City was one of the bloggers mentioned by the BBC during the hurricane, during Katrina, when no news was getting out of the city, or the news that was coming out was not the sort that gave a complete picture of what was going on. Yeah, we all saw the horrendous, hideous video. We saw the network anchors just losing it on bridges that went nowhere and near the Superdome. But the bloggers kept it up and kept it up and kept it up to give a full understanding of what was going on. So let me bring in a Loki, who is the head blogger and blogger at humidcity.com. His name is George Williams, but he goes by the name Loki. Feel free to call with your comments on this issue, especially if you were affected by any of those storms last year. Phone number here is 866-303-2270. Loki, welcome to the program. Should I call you Loki or George?
Whichever you prefer.
Well, I like Loki. Is that a Norse god?
It's actually a nickname I picked up back in my music production days at the House Blues about 15 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm a big student of mythology, and back then I used to be a bit of a practical joker, so I got settled with that and decided to run with it and keep it as a pen name.
Well, it's very catchy. I like that name. Let me start, Loki. For those in our audience that missed the BBC story about the New Orleans bloggers who escaped Katrina, can you explain how a website devoted to music and art became focused on Hurricane Katrina?
Well, basically, I had run several web-based projects before, trying to get alternative music and alternative art down here in exposure. And I had just set up a new one. It was my first experience playing around with blogs. It had only been up for a month or so. And I had just set it up so that I could call in audio posts from a cell phone anywhere, mm-hmm. in order to do interviews with people backstage and at art shows and things like that. Well, when Katrina hit, a guy that I brought in who writes under the pen name Oyster, does a lot of sociopolitical commentary down here on a blog called Your Right Hand Thief. It's very easy to Google. The man's ferociously intelligent. Threw a post up on the site that I checked the day before we evacuated when I was trying to make my decision, saying, get the hell out, even the Cajuns are leaving the bayou.
Right.
So at that point, I decided this would be the first storm in 39 years that I would actually run from. So I sent out an email to everybody that we knew and said, hey, we just set up this voice posting thing. Can't afford the cell phone minutes to call everybody, but if you check the site once a day, I'll call in every day and let you know how we are and where we are until we get back home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we got to West Memphis 17 hours later, spent the next day or two watching the Corps of Engineers' handiwork crumble and the city begin flooding. Basically, the whole hotel was full of folks from down in New Orleans. It was mostly folks from the lower Ninth Ward, which is now infamous thanks to mass media because it was one of the worst hit areas.
Mm-hmm.
People from Slidell, people from Uptown where I live, Broadmoor, all the neighborhoods in New Orleans. And I knew instantly the mass media was going to screw everything up. They were going to get histrionic about the wrong things, and you wouldn't get an idea of what was really going on.
Mm-hmm.
But having that system in place, I could give the people around me an actual voice that someone could go back and look at years later and get a more accurate picture. You know, this is the age of digital technology. The winners don't get to write all the history
anymore. That's true. Tell us a little bit about your exodus from New Orleans. I understand that there were 3 or 4 carloads and you had a snake. And
well, my fiance and I are both cyclists. If you live in New Orleans, even before Katrina, New Orleans was a small enough city, you don't need to own a car. You can get pretty much anywhere on a bicycle if you don't mind riding a little bit. So when evacuation time came, you know, as I said, I'm a native. My family's been here as long as there's been a New Orleans. I've never run from a storm in my life. This was the first. We got a hold of some friends of ours that were taking off, and we managed to juggle a whole bunch of people, and most of us are pet owners, into a few vehicles. We ended up with 9 people, 13 cats, and a 4.5-foot boa constrictor crammed into 3 compact cars.
Good God Almighty. What a sight that must have been. Were you still in contact with friends who stayed behind?
Well, that was the weird part. You know, this storm... most everybody left. I mean, the people that were still here were either folks that did not have the capability of leaving, or, you know, like for instance, I know one guy that I used to work down at the House of Blues with. He worked a double shift from 3 in the afternoon until 7 in the morning, got off work, went out there, and everybody was packing their cars and leaving. He was like, it's just another hurricane. Went home, woke up 8 hours later with water rising.
Yeah.
You know, but it was about, I guess, 2 weeks later we actually managed. I was just madly trying 504, which is our area code, numbers that I had for people whose whereabouts I didn't know. And the one person I actually managed to get a hold of was my landlord, who stayed behind and rode it out and to this day has not left the city.
Wow.
You know, it was an interesting experience. It was very odd because we were in exile. We couldn't get back. 5 of the cats were ours, and you can't take more than 2 animals per person on a train or a bus or a plane or anything. Mm-hmm. So we got stuck where we were until we could make enough money to come back down. This hit right before payday.
How long were you and the folks with you displaced or homeless?
We ended up getting back to New Orleans 1 week before Halloween. We got back a lot more rapidly than many people did.
So about 2 months.
Yeah, just under that.
All right. Let me ask you this. I've recently read an article or read some news report or something that there are still totally decayed bodies are still being recovered.
Oh, that's completely true.
And some city services like mass transportation have yet to be restored. What is it like in New Orleans now? I hear that so much of it is just... You know, I've been to New Orleans 6 or 7 times, and all I remember is that it was music and a lively city and hustlers and people walking and talking and working and noise and fun.
Lights and smiles and music
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Drinks and good times.
So what is it? Give us a sense of what it's like there now.
All right. In many ways, it's like living in the Forbidden Zone from the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I live in the uptown area. Now, for listeners that don't have any familiarity with New Orleans, that is the little sliver of high ground that did not get hit. Mm-hmm. I had just moved into this apartment 2 weeks before the storm. My old place, there's nothing left but exterior walls. Mm-hmm. You go 2 blocks from my house, and the water lines start.
Right.
I live 1 block off of St. Charles Avenue, which is the one street that everybody sees pictures of that isn't the quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the street lights on the avenue are non-functional. 25% of the street lights on the avenue are horizontal, lying on the ground. Trash pickups, an iffy sometime during the week, about once a week, which is a vast improvement on what it was before. I've got a friend who lives about 18 blocks from here who is currently sitting back and watching a movie on his DVD player, which is powered by the gas generator that he is using.
It's coming up on 10 months, and now we're into the hurricane season 2006. It's astonishing to me that on the one hand. On the other hand, it's not, given the politics of what happened down there. But it's astonishing to me that the city is still in such a state as it's in. It's incredible.
Well, one of the numbers that was batted around a lot during the recent mayoral campaign was 16%. And 16% is the amount that has been cleared.
Oh, my God, which leaves 84% that hasn't. All right, we have to take a break here, Loki. And when we come back, I want to talk. You know, a lot of people say, well, don't point fingers. Let's be forward-looking. Let's not look back. You know, and to that I say, bat squeeze.
I've got a finger to point.
Well, good. I want to know where you place the blame for the lack of preparedness, if most of it belongs on the national level, state level, city level, or whatever. So give it some thought, and let's talk about that when we come back, okay?
Certainly.
We're talking with HumidCity.com blogger Loki. If you haven't been to the website, check it out. We're also going to get his impressions tonight of what's in store for the city that so many of us loved, those of us who didn't live there, who saw it as this mecca of art and music. Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hey, this is Rachel Maddow, host of The Rachel Maddow Show here on Air America Radio, and I want to encourage you to help take back America's future on June 12th. Join me from June 12th to June 14th when the Campaign for America's Future, in partnership with Air America Radio, hosts the 2006 Take Back America Conference in Washington, D.C. The conference brings together thousands of progressive activists, thinkers, and leaders like Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Robert Redford, Harry Reid, Russ Feingold, and many others to discuss the ideas, hone the message, train the organizers, and help build the infrastructure we need to ensure that the voice of the progressive majority is heard. I'll be there. Register online today for the Take Back America Conference, June 12th through 14th in Washington, D.C. Log on to airamericaradio.com or visit www.ourfuture.org to sign up for this important conference. Please join me and register today so we can make a difference and help take back America's future.
think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees.
Ten before the hour, we're talking with the blogger known as Loki, HumidCity.com, who kept things going, kept reports coming out of one of the bloggers that kept reports coming out of New Orleans when the hurricane hit last year. And all right, the question right before the break, Loki, where the blame should be placed? I was astonished as that story unfolded. What I had was what was being provided to me by MSNBC and CNN and the networks, and it was mind-boggling. I've never seen anything like that in the United States. And what I'm talking about is the massive refugees, the people who converged on the Superdome, the people who were forced to squat in 95 degree weather on chunks of expressway that went nowhere, and just on and on and on and on. And I couldn't believe this was happening. Now I can't believe over the past 9 months, nothing has been done to completely eliminate this problem. And a lot of people say, well, you can't hurricane proof the city. And that may be true to an extent, but you can do a damn hell of a better job than what was done before. So I've just got to ask you, the responsibility, the blame for the lack of preparedness, where does it rest?
Well, the primary blame, and this is something that is shared by almost every single person I've talked to, be they here in the city again or in the diaspora, is the Army Corps of Engineers, a group that is currently shielded by laws enacted in 1928, I think it was, to keep them from being sued for flood damage resulting in any failed flood prevention projects of theirs. The Corps of Engineers, and this is something that just amazes me, has stepped up and numerous members of their organization have admitted culpability. They have said that they built the levees on specs they knew were outdated and knew were inaccurate and unsafe to be cost effective. That's partially at the blame of the feds for not giving them the money, but it's also partially at the foot of the classic and well-known corruption of that particular organization. Anyone down here, you mention the Corps or FEMA, and they, if they're polite, they just spit.
Right.
You know, these are the two areas. Now, the fact that the mayor and the administration that were in place here, now they've been vilified, and rightly so, on many fields, but I must say one thing, which is that if Morial had still been in charge or one of his predecessors, we would have seen a lot more death, a lot more destruction. We would not have seen the first mayor with balls enough to demand a mandatory evacuation in the city's entire history. Mm-hmm. So he does get points for that. But the fact that really gets my goat, particularly since my father spent 2 years in a Vietnam prison camp for defending this country, was the gross and criminal abandonment of New Orleans by the federal government.
Oh, it was horrible. It was that's the thing. It's just horrible. And now we find out from one of the infamous videotapes that Bush, or as we call him, President Chucklenuts, when he was briefed, didn't ask a single question prior to the storm hitting and the levees breaking.
Well, what do you expect from a C student?
Well, that's true, or from someone who seems to enjoy death and destruction.
Well, it's good for big business.
It is indeed. The Hurricane Pam simulation predictions were ignored. Now, when you say it's good for big business, I've got a listener, well, he's more than a listener, over in Mississippi on the coast whose area of the Mississippi coast took a direct hit, as you know, that slid just a little bit to the east of New Orleans.
I've been there. There's nothing left.
I know. And my correspondent, Herb, who lives over there, wanted me to ask you if in New Orleans if you all are having the land grabs like what's going on in southern Mississippi right now.
No, the speculation is just ridiculous, and a lot of almost everything that's going on down here. I'll put it to you this way: Halliburton and Shaw Group employees have noticeably ceased wearing anything that identifies their association with the company.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That should give you a little bit of an idea of the tenor of things down here.
What about Blackwater, the private security firm out of North Carolina?
Well, I think I was one of the first people to write about them being down here, because I knew about them because my dad used to work in intelligence for the government. And there's a Jewish community center on St. Charles Avenue, which was the FEMA center where they'd screw up your paperwork, no matter what it was, and run you through rings and get absolutely nothing done, as they're so famous for doing, on the avenue. Now, why you need 20 or 30 private mercenaries who are usually only deployed for hostile actions in other countries who've never been used on U.S. soil to defend FEMA people up until a matter of only a month or two ago? Could it possibly be that FEMA and the government have been doing things so badly and blatantly bending people over and having their way with them to the point that they need that sort of protection?
Well, there's that. There's also the clear possibility in my mind of giving Blackwater employees some domestic experience, how to operate. Not in Iraq, not providing security for the occupying civilians over there, but give them some experience. Walk in the streets of New Orleans. Let's take New Orleans. Give them some experience working with frantic people, Americans who all speak English, who look like them except for the heavy armor and the weaponry that they carried. So I have a feeling it was that. Loki, can you hold on? I want to do just a little bit more with you when we come back. We're going to take a break here at the top of the hour. All right, all right, stay right there. We're talking with the blogger Loki, who you can find out more about him at humidcity.com. Check it out. Stick around. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on Complete Insect Killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon Complete Insect Killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated sprayer. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The U.S. and five other world powers have come up with incentives they hope will persuade Iran's leaders to stop their uranium enrichment program. Britain's foreign secretary called it a series of far-reaching proposals giving Iran the chance to cooperate on reaching a negotiated agreement. But she warns if the Iranians won't talk, further steps will follow. France and Germany also took part in the talks, along with Russia and China, two countries whose support would be needed in the UN Security Council if action is to be taken there. The announcement comes after Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with representatives of the other countries. The Federal Election Commission today determined Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist's 2000 Senate campaign violated federal campaign finance laws. The federal agency fined the Frist campaign $11,000, according to documents released today. The FEC found that Frist 2000 Inc. failed to disclose a $1.4 million loan taken out jointly by that campaign and Frist 1994 campaign committee. Illinois Congressman Dennis Hastert has become the longest-serving Republican speaker in the history of the House. Hastert passed Joseph Cannon, who ruled the House from November of 1903 to March of 1911. Hastert's a former high school history teacher and wrestling coach. He was elected to Congress in 1986. When Newt Gingrich abruptly resigned as speaker in 1998, Hastert eventually became speaker. The longest-serving speaker is Democrat Sam Rayburn of Texas, who served more than 17 years in two stretches, and Tip O'Neill of Massachusetts, who served 10 years. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says he begins his second term like his city, tried, tested, and having weathered the worst of storms. At the inauguration today at the Convention Center, New Orleans, Nagin promised we will rebuild New Orleans together. Nagin says Katrina's destruction gives New Orleans a new opportunity to rebuild, to restore, and to start new. Nagin listed past flood storms and struggles the city's overcome and said we are overcoming Hurricane Katrina right now. The new hurricane season begins today. A new report takes a look at what went wrong in New Orleans last year. The Army Corps of Engineers says the city's levees were overwhelmed by Katrina because the system did not perform as a system. It says hurricane protection in New Orleans and southeast Louisiana was a system in name only. The Corps of Engineers chief says his agency takes responsibility for the failures. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. We've been talking here for the past 30 minutes or so with George Williams, also known as Loki. He is a blogger out of New Orleans who let the rest of the world know what was going on in that city when Katrina hit. We wanted to have Loki on tonight because this is the first day of the 2006 hurricane season. The city of New Orleans is still devastated. You heard just a second ago, Loki said about 16% of the city has been, or the damage has been repaired or replaced, whatever. They're still finding bodies buried in. It's just unbelievable what happened on the coast of the United States less than a year ago. Astonishing. Some of those images I will never be able to get over them. Loki, we're talking about blame and responsibility, and chuckle nuts being, as far as I'm concerned, the primary, the person who had primary responsibility. What about the debate that's on now about whether the psychopath that runs Homeland Security, Chertoff, should bear more responsibility than the utterly useless Michael Brown?
Well, all I have to say about Homeland Security is I'm looking out my window at my homeland, and I'm in the middle of one of the best restored zones, and I'm looking at a 10-foot pile of rubble that used to be the interior of the house across the street. My homeland doesn't feel very secure. And from what I gather, the folding of FEMA into Homeland Security was one of the things that led to the underfunding of FEMA and the appointment of an idiot whose only qualifications were running the Arabian Horse Association, our dear Brownie. Mm-hmm. Everything that has come out of the federal administration has been with an eye towards looking good in the public eye but not actually achieving anything down here. Real funny, I doubt that if it hit Jeb Bush's territory that the response would have been this slow or this, shall we say, useless across the board. Bush probably would have come back from vacation. Cheney probably would have cut short his 5 or 6 days right after the storm hit when he was out buying that multi-million dollar house. Maybe he'd possibly have done something about the people down here losing theirs. Condi Rice might not have spent all of her time purchasing shoes while on vacation, while international aid coming to us from people like Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez sending aid to the United States, and that can't even get into the country because Condi's buying shoes on Fifth Avenue and won't come off vacation to sign the paperwork necessary for them to come into the country.
I mean, what can I say? It just goes on and on. It does not let up. What happened to New Orleans? Who's responsible? The unmitigated disaster and the way it continues. It's still a disaster. Let me ask you about the just completed race for the mayor's office down there. What do you think of Nagin? A. B. Do you support Mary Landrieu? And C. What about Governor Blanco?
All right. Well, let's start off with Blanco. As far as I'm concerned, the woman should be barred from ever holding office again.
Really?
Well, one little detail that gave the feds a loophole as far as being tardy down here is a little thing called the posse comitatus, which clearly delineates the division of powers between state governments and national governments. Now, in order for federal people to come in, they have to have a written request, which these days can be an email, and we all know how simple those are.
Well, now you're referring to law enforcement, federal law enforcement. That posse comitatus goes back to the end of the Civil War.
Yeah. So all why right. was she sitting in an office in Baton Rouge looking at sunny skies before the storm hits and not aware enough of her job and how to do it to make a written request? She phoned it in, which gave them the opening to go, oh, well, we can't until we get the official invite.
What was she supposed to do, Loki? I have no idea.
A written request for the federal presence to come in and charge.
It has to be a written request.
It has to be written. And like I said, these days, that's an email. It takes just as long to write an email, a short, quick, send help, this is an official request tag from the governor's office, as it does to make a phone call and get through the barriers of operators to get through the through the proper department. The email probably is 10 times quicker.
Is Blanco stupid or evil?
I do not believe that she's inherently evil. I think she's inept.
You know, okay, that's a good middle ground. And Ray Nagin, what's your take on him? Obviously, he's going to be, another 4 years now he's going to be mayor. Is this guy for real, or is he, I don't know, I get a weird feeling around him. Didn't he used to be Republican, or?
I can't speak to whether or not he used to be Republican. Ray is an odd one, you know. In a number of ways, I'm dead against him. You know, I think that he definitely needs a speechwriter to censor his commentary before he makes comments like Chocolate City and such. However, by the same token, I've got to give Ray props. He made Contraflow work. He has lost his cool on the air in front of the reporters. But you know what? I stood up and applauded when he said, get your asses down here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He really needed to do that. The thing about Ray, you look at Ray. Ray is a good old New Orleans boy, but he's not a part of the good old New Orleans political establishment.
Right.
I really don't think that it would have made a huge amount of difference which one of the two of them got into office, because they're very similar. They have very similar views on a lot of things. They're both bald. They're both in the political field, which means they're basically reprehensible to begin with. But the thing about it is, the main difference as far as who got into office and how it affects us is how we're going to get castigated in the national media.
Yeah.
With Ray in office, we're going to be held up as being led by a buffoon, voted in by a group of people who obviously have no learning curve.
Yeah.
If Landrieu had made it into office, we would be the poster city for the massive disenfranchisement of African Americans in the modern age. Either way, we're going to get it with both barrels, because it's easier to castigate us in the media and talk about what we're doing wrong than talk about the things that should be being done, that should be happening, that have been lacking on state, local, and most especially federal levels across the board.
Yeah, true. Let me ask you about some of the comments that were made following Katrina. The Bush talking about he couldn't wait to sit on Trent Lott's porch over in Mississippi, probably having the Negroes sing songs to him as they sat there and drank mint juleps once Trent Lott's house was rebuilt. Tom DeLay's comments about the kids who had just had their entire lives permanently altered, their homes blown away, maybe they lost relatives, they are now refugees. I know they didn't like that term, but they were essentially refugees in their own country. And then Tom DeLay makes some snot-ass comment about were they having fun at camp. Or the mother of all sick presidents, Barbara Bush, her comments about how the Ninth Ward victims were over in Houston in the Astrodome were better off without their shabby homes. Or Pickles Bush, George's wife, didn't know the correct name of the hurricane. Now, all of that, how was that absorbed or seen by the community that you're in touch with?
Well, we don't feel like we're part of America anymore.
Ouch.
I mean, a third of this country owes its existence to the Louisiana Purchase. Bottom line. And we down here, we have had our entire city burnt down around us with one building left standing during the Spanish rule. We survived Betsy. We survived Katrina. And we're going to make it through this. And it's really gotten to be we're a city with abandonment issues right now in a big way.
Oh,
no one here thinks that the federal government gives a rat's ass about us across the board.
Well,
and that includes a lot of diehard Republicans down here.
Yeah. All right, let me take another break. And I want you, can you stick around for one more short segment? Because I still have two questions to ask you, okay?
As long as you want me.
All right, just stay where you are, Loki. We'll be back in a second. We're talking with George Williams, also known as Loki, one of the bloggers who stayed in contact with the outside world when Katrina hit 10 months ago. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
There ought to be zero tolerance of looting. It's very important for the citizens in all affected areas to take personal responsibility and assume kind of a civic sense of responsibility.
No place to stay.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right. Your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
It's good to see, be able to look in people's eyes and not see them all bloodshot.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 21 past the hour. More Bush comments on the aftermath of Katrina. All right, we're talking with George Williams, who is known as Loki. HumidCity.com is the blog site or the website. And he was one of the people who blogged New Orleans into the aftermath of Katrina in New Orleans into the consciousness of the world. Loki, we only have a couple of minutes left. Two quick questions. There are still thousands of people homeless and unemployed. A lot of people have just not even come back to New Orleans. The area is obviously horrendously economically depressed, probably worse than during the Great Depression in this country. And depressing. Insurance companies now won't renew policies. I'm sure that a huge chunk of the population of New Orleans is suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress disorder. In knowing the city and the energy down there, what has been the biggest fallout in the Katrina aftermath? You know, whether it's economic or social or emotional, what?
The displacement really is it. I mean, if you're home, three out of four people you know are gone. And in an extremely social culture like ours, that's an amazing hit. That and the psychological impact of being surrounded by the aftermath every day. The main reason that a lot of the areas are clean and the thing that's going to pull us through is because groups of residents have banded together and have been doing things. The Katrina crew is a group of people that have gotten together, numbering up now at about 2,000, that twice a week pick a 10-square block strip of a street and clean up all the rubble. And that's where most of it has gotten cleaned up from. Think New Orleans, which is working on teaching civic leaders and activist groups how to use blogging and web publishing platforms to communicate and organize down here. But it really comes down to, you know, the complete disruption of the social network.
Mm-hmm.
And the... No, you can be very cheerful. It is livable. It's just insane. And everyone around here is aware of the fact that none of us are quite right. No matter who you are, you have moments where you're in tears.
Well, the closest thing that I can compare it to is old film that I have seen of people in Europe from the major cities in Europe after after World War II,
mm-hmm.
Whether they were in Eastern or Western Europe, people just wandering around with rubble and destruction. Now, I realize New Orleans was not, you know, bombed by the Allies or the Axis or the Germans, but That kind of sense.
That's a very valid comparison.
Yeah, well, your term, displacement. They even had a term for people like that at the end of World War II. They were called DPs, or displaced mm-hmm. persons.
Yeah. Well, we were, and the people that are gone, even though some may argue with it, are refugees. We were forcibly displaced our home.
Well, to me, by any definition, that's a refugee. What needs to be done, not just in New Orleans, but and we're running out of time here, but in mm-hmm. other vulnerable areas to prepare for this hurricane season or another one of these monster storms?
Well, first of all, we need something that we lack, which is efficiency and honesty in the governmental systems that are supposed to provide support in situations like this.
Yeah.
Another thing we need to do is we need to look at why the Dutch can protect an entire nation that's below sea level and we can't manage to protect a port.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the argument that New Orleans is below sea level and that's why we shouldn't rebuild doesn't hold a lot of water when you consider the majority of the world's ports are all below sea level.
Mm-hmm.
And if we shut down, that wrecks the entire American economy. So enlightened self-interest, if nothing else, should have people charging up to go, how do we fix this? How do we prevent it from happening? I hope to God we find a way to keep it from happening before the San Andreas goes or Mount St. Helens pops up again or any place where this might happen mm-hmm. with, say, a Democratic governor.
Yeah, I hear you. I should know the answer to this question, but it just popped into my head when you were talking. New Orleans was one of the busiest, if not the busiest, port in America. What has happened to all that port traffic? Was it shifted to Houston? Was it shifted where?
You know, I'm not certain where it was shifted to. I do know that the one thing that people have managed to make sure is up and running is the port infrastructure. From what I gather from speaking with a friend of mine who works in construction, who I actually do some work for, because I've got to swing a hammer and put things back together as well, or I don't feel good about myself.
Yeah.
He said that the port infrastructure is back up to about 80%, and that was the first and main thing focused on. Kind of like when Bush came down for his speech, Jackson Square got manicured, it got cleaned up, it got lights, there wasn't anything else around anywhere near
that,
it.
That was one of the eeriest images that I have seen on television in a long time, simply because of the fact that I have partied very hardy in Jackson Square, and to see that surreal image of this ghastly ghost George Bush standing there. Hey, listen, Loki, I really appreciate your taking time to talk to us.
Anytime.
Thanks a lot. And without trying to sound trite, best of luck, okay?
Hey, y'all don't forget us, and if you make it down to New Orleans, I'm buying you a drink.
You are indeed. Thanks a lot, Loki.
If you
want to see more about this, more information, go to humidcity.com and check it out. You'll find information on projects like the Hurricane Digital Memory Bank and the New Orleans Oral History Project. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm Janine Garofalo, and it doesn't matter if you're black, white, gay, straight, male, or female. AIDS has taken its toll on all kinds of people around the world for over 20 years, and it is still everybody's problem. Register for AIDS Walk. Together, we can make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Last August, did the planet betray us?
Early this morning, Hurricane Katrina slammed into New Orleans.
Or did we betray the planet?
This is the biggest crisis in the history of this country.
This summer, critics everywhere are rallying behind an unlikely film. The Washington Post raves, you will be captivated, then riveted, and then scared out of your wits. Larry King calls An Inconvenient Truth one of the most important films ever. It should be seen by everyone who cares whether or not the human race will still exist in 50 years, declares Vanity Fair. And Ben Lyons of E! Says plainly, this is the most relevant, important, thought-provoking, and powerful film in years. Seeing this movie will change your life for the better, and hopefully, it will change the world. Paramount Classics is proud to present An Inconvenient Truth. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing in select theaters.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on Complete Insect Killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon Complete Insect Killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated spray. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
We'll be right back.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
It's about 26 before the hour. Tomorrow night, we're going to talk about Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s lengthy article in Rolling Stone about the 2004 election being stolen. I have not read the article yet. I know what it's about, but I haven't read it yet. I think it's entirely clear at this point that the 2000 election was stolen. And a very good chance that the 2006 and the 2008 elections will be stolen. So I'm going to ask if you have some comments about Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s article in Rolling Stone. Let's hold off on that topic until tomorrow. If that's what you've called in about, Dee will chat with you again here and reset your topic to something else, because I haven't read it yet, and I just don't want to come across as half-prepared or unprepared to discuss this. We're also going to try to get either Bobby Jr. or Mike Papantonio, the two co-hosts of Ring of Fire on this network on the weekends, or get them on as a guest, possibly tomorrow. Not tomorrow night? Okay, maybe the first of next week. Okay. So we'll be talking about this tomorrow night, Bobby Kennedy's critique, I guess is the way to put it, about the 2004 election. Primarily what happened in Ohio, how at least approaching 500,000 voters in Ohio were denied ballot access, their votes were not counted. I don't want to get started on that topic, because I get furious. I go out of my mind when I think about what this filthy Bush administration has done, whether it's New Orleans or the attack against Iraq or the theft of the election. Or the corruption of everything about this society, as often as we kind of teeter on the edge in this consumer-driven, crazed, gimme society. You know, 6% of the population, 25% of the sucking up of energy resources on this planet. You know, we're an outrageous population to begin with. We just are. We're an outrageously selfish population to begin with. But to see that we can't even transcend that to a degree with the kind of leadership that we've got, to try to at least stop the exploitation of other people, at least stop the slaughter of other people, I just can't get into it tonight. I really can't. But let's do some let's get some comments here about what you heard with the conversation with Loki. I just think it was certainly enlightening to me. I would hate to be at this point a resident of New Orleans. I realize that a lot of people down there are energized and are doing their damnedest to try to bring that city back. I don't know that I have the energy. Let's go to Jeannie, who is calling from New Orleans. Jeannie, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jeannie.
I was just listening. I didn't catch the whole, you know, of Mr. Loki's comments. Most of what he said was pretty right on, but I guess I had to call and disagree with his comments about Governor Blanco.
Really? What's your take on that?
Well, I think that she did what she could. I know that prior to the storm hitting, she called for a state of emergency. I know that she made requests, and I think he's, you know, unless he can show me something, but everything I've read, in fact, the Advocate, the Baton Rouge newspaper, because I was displaced in Baton Rouge for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
and the paper there, you know, I know everybody's heard about the buses
right.
that didn't show up, and when she called, she was told they were there, and when she called for them, they were hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think what Loki...
I just disagree with, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, I didn't hear everything,
right.
but I disagreed with his comments on Blanco, and I think it bothers me. I'm not saying this is behind Mr. Loki's feelings, but the governor we had before Governor Blanco, Mike Foster, was a Republican
mm-hmm.
who did practically nothing his entire term but go duck hunting and offer the Saints more money than the state could afford to keep them here.
Yeah.
And here's Governor Blanco has worked so hard trying to bring industry and jobs into the state.
Well, Jeannie,
much more than him.
Jeannie, I think the point Loki was trying to make was simply that in requesting federal assistance, and obviously Loki was irritated by this, but in requesting federal assistance, for whatever reason, Governor Blanco did not do it the right way, and I think just the fact that there was a right way to do it in an emergency like that, who in the hell cares if it's a phone call, an email, or a letter? You understand
what I'm
saying?
Exactly. She called for a state of emergency, but she requested things, and if she did it in the wrong way, like
yeah.
you said, it's ridiculous. They knew what we needed. They knew what she was asking for.
Well, how are you doing now? You still live in New Orleans, or you're in Baton
Rouge? Yeah. We're back. We were very lucky. We came back at the end of October. I live right off of City Park Avenue in Mid-City, and if you're from New Orleans, you know that we're the one street off of City Park Avenue, and mm-hmm. City Park Avenue is the dividing line between Mid-City and Lakeview, so mm-hmm. that's how close we are to Lakeview. We're across the street.
Wow.
But our block, apparently is very high because the water literally stopped two doors in each direction.
Oh, my goodness. Well, how do you...
My husband didn't. I evacuated my parents, and he stayed with the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to, you know, be evacuated.
All right. Today's the first day the official start of the 2006 hurricane season. Are you nervous? Are you confident that Army Corps of Engineers has fixed those levees? Tell me how you feel about this.
Well, I'm being optimistic that we won't get hit that hard because 2 years in a row. Now, maybe mm-hmm. I'm being foolish, but I know usually when hurricanes come, they kind of move a little bit to one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a little, you know, disconcerting that they haven't built the levees up to the point I don't think they should be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really distressed that the federal government doesn't seem to think this is a priority. But,
yeah, and I think they made that very clear. It may be a
yeah.
priority to the scavengers that are coming in there, like Halliburton and Kellogg Brown.
Oh,
Brewer,
yeah.
But not to the people who live there. Is it difficult being a citizen of New Orleans now that everything has changed?
It's different. We're very lucky because, like I said, the few blocks around us, most of the people are back.
Mm-hmm.
But then if I drive a few blocks down, the lights, just like Mr. Loki said, the lights laying on the neutral ground.
Mm-hmm.
And a few blocks in the other direction, there are no lights. But we're pretty much doing, I never did lose a day of work. I was very lucky. I worked
mm-hmm.
for a union. Didn't lose a day of work because I was stranded at the Union Hall in Baton Rouge, and we immediately set to finding members and people and worked in cooperation with the Blue Cross trying to help get the Blue Cross help out to people. And,
what is Blue Cross?
I'm sorry. I'm at Red Cross.
Oh, Red Cross. Okay.
Red Cross.
I think what you're referring to, you don't want to be considered living in a red state. You're a blue stater.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking. Huh?
I guess so. So you're okay?
Oh, we're fine.
Your family, everybody in
well,
your...
Well, you know, a lot of people lost stuff. My husband's brothers and aunt, and they lost everything. One lived in Chalmette, one lived in Slidell, one lived near the lake.
Mm.
My family did fine, except for the one son that lived in Lakeview. But he's
mm-hmm.
okay now.
But with all these family members and in-laws who were so devastated, how did you all, you know, just take care of each other, the emotional needs? How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, it was so different because I lived in Baton Rouge for 2 months in a house that the Union Hall helped us to find and we rented. And I lived with my husband's aunt
mm-hmm.
and brother and sister and her roommate that I have, you know, just other than seeing them for holidays. So
mm-hmm.
we had to, it was a whole different experience.
Sure.
And now it's all split up because some have found property and moved and some are still in Baton Rouge. It was... The hardest part was being 200 miles away and watching it on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't even describe how that felt. It was pretty horrible. But and to think of all the people who lost so much more than us. We're just so lucky. We came home to a house and a job. There's a lot of people that still don't have that and don't even know when they're going to have that.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's different driving home because when I drive home after dark a few times when I've had to go through Lakeview because it's so near to us, and it's to drive through there and there's not even, you know, drive through without even street lights. It's like dead, just blocks away.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It does worry me at times. If I let myself think about it, then I worry that the city won't come back. And this election that just happened, I don't fault Mayor Nagin for what happened during the storm,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like he has done nothing practically. I mean, we're lucky. We got a garbage picked up today the first time in 2 weeks.
Well, let's hope that he gets motivated given you know what he went through politically. Hey, listen, Jeannie, thanks for checking
okay,
in.
I
appreciate
you.
What you had to say, and thanks for the first person account. Take care, okay?
Okay, bye-bye.
We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio. Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Life's too short to listen to right-wing radio. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Back to your calls here. Rex is calling from New Orleans. Rex, welcome to the program.
Yeah, two things. For your information as to why Nagin got reelected, it was because all of the white Republicans went for him because they hate Landrieu, and he got about 25% of their vote, which means now he's beholden to them. For the same reason, about 20% of the blacks voted for Landrieu because they thought that therefore he'd be beholden to them. So that's, it was the white conservative uptown business vote that put Nagin over the top. But the one thing that's going under the radar screen here that nobody seems to think about, for the first time in the history of the United States, 80% of the land mass of one of the large, most major American cities is going to be decided by unelected, appointed mid-level bureaucrats in FEMA and the Corps of Engineers in combination with private insurance companies in the setting of these flood level elevations and what the insurance companies will or will not therefore insure. And what this is going to, what they're doing is setting them such that it's going to cost so much. Now remember, they've already paid taxes to have the levees fixed, right?
Right, right.
Okay. Now they're saying, despite the levees, you've got to elevate these homes 8-10 feet. Now, if you take a 4,000 square foot brick home, I mean, you're talking about astronomical. What they're doing in effect, and the insurance companies refusing to insure unless they do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means you can't get a mortgage or sell it, resell it, or anything else. What that's going to do is wipe out huge sections of the city that won't be able to rebuild. Which means, guess what? It means that the current owners will be bought out or have to leave, and then that leaves the way open for guess who?
Mm-hmm.
And the point is that there's no vote, no state legislature, no national legislature like either House of Congress. Nobody's taken a vote on this. The whole thing is going to be driven by mid-level bureaucrats in FEMA, the Corps of Engineers, and private insurance companies.
It's incredible. I don't know how anyone who is a homeowner or holds a mortgage or held a mortgage prior to the storm, I don't know how y'all are going to survive it. I don't know. And I'm sure folks in New Orleans feel the same way. If you can't get insurance, you're not going to get a mortgage lender who will provide the money. It just looks.
And then they have to sell under distress.
Right. And it looks to me like what is being set up here is one of the most monumental ripoffs of private property owners or renters and people who live.
Oh, exactamente, senor. Oh, small businessmen that own the businesses in those areas.
Yeah, just a horrendous situation that is, you know, one more example. I'm sorry, but I'm going to, I asked Loki where the blame rests. To me, it rests on national leadership in this country that just is not.
Oh, I totally agree. Look, I'm from Illinois, and I've been a lifelong Republican all my life. But when that fat sack of pus, Dennis Hastert, all right, when he said, "Don't know why we should rebuild."
Ah.
And then on top of that, to talk about the corruption down here, the state of Illinois. Okay,
yeah.
Chicago. Okay, listen, I have a plaque on my wall from as an Illinois state scholar in high school from none other than Otto J. Kerr, former governor,
right.
Former brigadier general in the Army Reserves, former
right.
federal judge,
Kerner
who's
Commission.
Now guess what? In the federal slammer, right?
Yeah.
I think he died there for taking raking off money off the top of Arlington racetrack.
I know it's.
And wait, you probably don't know this. I'm 62 years old. I go way back. Okay, I'm an old geezer, early geezer, or whatever. The point is, in around 59, 60, whatever, the Secretary of State of Illinois, who was a Republican, by the way,
right.
a guy named Paul Powell, had the unfortunate circumstance to die in his hotel room in Springfield while the legislature was in session. And when they searched his room, inventory his room,
right.
took the body away, underneath his bed they found $189,000 in a shoebox, okay, which in today's money, I don't know how many millions that would be, but
yeah.
The point is that forever that forevermore, you can't say his name without saying Shoebox Paul Powell.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, Illinois, I mean, Louisiana, there are plenty of other states, New Jersey maybe, or, so when Hastert said that, I just practically went straight up and bent left.
I hear you. Hey, Rex, I have to leave it there.
Sure, right. I understand.
Thanks a lot. Good luck down there. I don't mean to sound cavalier, but good luck. I hope you all are
all
okay.
We all need it. Trust me.
All right, sir. Take care. Can we squeeze? No, we're out of time, aren't we? No, we're not. Connie is calling from Illinois. Hey, Connie. Rex was just talking about the state of Illinois. How are you?
Hi. Fine.
Hey.
It's good to talk to you.
My pleasure.
I was just giving another introspect into the thing with the, you know, the insurance.
Right.
Wind and water insurance doesn't cover each other, and they fight with each other. We have a property in Florida that got hit by Charlie, and a lot of other people got hit by Charlie. There are still people who are still fighting about this, you know, 2 years later.
Oh, I know. In South Carolina, you said Florida, right?
Yeah, we're in Florida.
In South Carolina, there are still, in North Carolina, people who are waiting for some sort of a settlement. And, of course, a lot of people say, well, you shouldn't build in a high-risk area. Well, what the hell? The entire country's a high-risk area. Connie, I have to leave it there. Thanks for checking in. We'll be back after the break, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
On Air America Radio.
Look at your radio. Kind of cool, right? From somewhere far, far away, progressive voices are beamed directly to wherever you are on Air America Radio. You know, there's so much to say. We've tried archiving previous shows inside that radio of yours. We've tried stuffing it full of video feeds of Al Franken, Jerry Springer, The Majority Report, and more. But that part doesn't seem to be working. So the really great stuff that won't fit inside your radio is available right now from Air America Premium. We tried stuffing the homepage in your radio, but that didn't work either, so please use your computer instead. Find out about Air America Premium today at airamericaradio.com.
So let's say you go shopping, and you walk into the first store you come to. The store says, hey, no need to shop those other stores. We'll give you our price and theirs, too. Well, you think, that would save you time. But then you come to your senses. How do you really know if you're getting the best deal?
Car insurance websites that promise multiple rate quotes can't speak for GEICO. Shop for yourself at GEICO.com. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Air America Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. The U.S. and five other world powers have come up with incentives they hope will persuade Iran's leaders to stop their uranium enrichment program. Britain's foreign secretary called it a series of far-reaching proposals giving Iran the chance to cooperate on reaching a negotiated agreement. But she warns if the Iranians won't talk, further steps will follow. France and Germany also took part in the talks, along with Russia and China, two countries whose support would be needed in the UN Security Council if action is to be taken there. The announcement comes after Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with representatives of the other countries. The Federal Election Commission today determined Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist's 2000 Senate campaign violated federal campaign finance laws. The federal agency fined the Frist campaign $11,000, according to documents released today. The FEC found that Frist 2000 Inc. failed to disclose a $1.4 million loan taken out jointly by that campaign and Frist 1994 campaign committee. Illinois Congressman Dennis Hastert has become the longest-serving Republican speaker in the history of the House. Hastert passed Joseph Cannon, who ruled the House from November of 1903 to March of 1911. Hastert's a former high school history teacher and wrestling coach. He was elected to Congress in 1986. When Newt Gingrich abruptly resigned as Speaker in 1998, Hastert eventually became Speaker. The longest-serving Speaker is Democrat Sam Rayburn of Texas, who served more than 17 years in two stretches, and Tip O'Neill of Massachusetts, who served 10 years. New Orleans Mayor Ray Nagin says he begins his second term like his city, tried, tested, and having weathered the worst of storms. At the inauguration today at the Convention Center, New Orleans, Nagin promised we will rebuild New Orleans together. Nagin says Katrina's destruction gives New Orleans a new opportunity to rebuild, to restore, and to start new. Nagin listed past flood storms and struggles the city's overcome and said we are overcoming Hurricane Katrina right now. The new hurricane season begins today. A new report takes a look at what went wrong in New Orleans last year. The Army Corps of Engineers says the city's levees were overwhelmed by Katrina because the system did not perform as a system. It says hurricane protection in New Orleans and southeast Louisiana was a system in name only. The Corps of Engineers chief says his agency takes responsibility for the failures. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. It's 7 past the hour. Have you been following on the Internet, because I'm not seeing this in news reports, there, the Sunday Times of the UK reported this past Sunday about the another U.S. execution, this time in the village of Abu Sifa near the Iraqi town of Balad. Eyewitness reports here, one night 2 weeks ago, one of the witnesses saw a U.S. helicopter land near his home. The guy I'm talking about, his name is Harat Khalaf. American soldiers stormed out of the Chinook and advanced on a house owned by Khalaf's brother, firing as they went. Khalaf ran from his own house and hid in a nearby grove of trees. He saw the soldiers enter his brother's home and then heard the sound of women and children screaming. He said last week, then there was a lot of machine gun fire. After that, there was the most frightening sound of all, silence followed by explosions as the soldiers left the house. Once the troops were gone, Khalaf and his fellow villagers began a frantic search through the ruins of his brother's home. Abu Sifa was about to join a lengthening list of Iraqi communities claiming to have suffered from American atrocities. According to Iraqi police, 11 bodies were pulled from the wreckage of the house. Among them, 4 women and 5 children. The children were aged between 6 months and 5 years. An official police report obtained by U.S. reporter for Knight Ridder newspaper said, quote, the American forces gathered the family members in one room and executed 11 people. Now, this incident, along with what happened in Haditha, are being investigated by U.S. authorities. But there are persistent eyewitness accounts of rampaging attacks by American troops in Iraq. And then this, I just got this. This is from the BBC. That was from last Sunday's Times. This is from the BBC. The BBC has uncovered new video evidence that U.S. forces may have been responsible for the deliberate killing, once again, of 11 innocent Iraqi civilians. The video appears to challenge U.S. military's account of events that took place in the town of Ishaki in March. I don't know if these are the same incidences or not. But I heard today in watching, excuse me, I heard today that the U.S. military is ordering a complete stand down of all 130,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. Which I believe is unprecedented, a stand-down so that they can receive, U.S. troops can receive ethical training and lessons in what is referred to as core warrior values. Now, the video pictures obtained by the BBC involved an incident that, according to the Americans, a building, after a firefight, collapsed, killing 4 people, including 2 women and a child. The videotape obtained by the BBC shows a number of dead adults and children at the site, with what the BBC's World Affairs editor, John Simpson, says were clearly gunshot wounds. Jesus Christ. Executing children. It takes an awful lot of dehumanization, doesn't it, to be able to murder little kids, to put bullets into little kids? What the hell is going on? This is unbelievable. The revenge that will be sought by these families, against the American invaders will go on for generations. You know that as well as I do, and rightly so, I guess. I mean, I don't know how to respond to this. I don't know how to respond to these continuing reports and evidence. How many investigations are being conducted in Iraq now by the U.S. military of troops who have executed civilians, who round people up, herd them into rooms, and open fire with machine guns and hand grenades? Jesus Christ, these are the kinds of events that, and again, I'll say rightly so, I don't know what else to say. If somebody were to round up my children or my grandchildren and execute them, I would not rest until every one of the sons of bitches were dead or I was dead. It's just that simple. I can be as governed by the reptilian part of my brain and brainstem as the next person. If no mercy is to be shown to me and mine, then I will offer no mercy in return. And I think that is, I don't know how human beings transcend that. I guess Gandhi did, or Jesus did, or MLK did, but I damn sure can't, couldn't, never, I wouldn't even try, And so what is happening to civilians in Iraq who were never butchered like this before, were they? Not like this. Where did I read today that Iraq is becoming a cauldron of horror? Was that on BuzzFlash? I don't know, but that phrase is stuck in my head now, a cauldron of horror. And I'm literally getting to the point where when I see Rice or Bush or Rumsfeld or Cheney on television, do you get this feeling? Just a rush, some kind of a probably adrenaline, you know, fight or flight. Just a primal rush when I see any of these four on television, when I see their picture, especially the three men, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush. It's scary. It's scary. I dare not say on the air what the feeling is like. I can't. I can't say it. And I cannot believe that I'm the only American who is experiencing this. Obviously not. But this just doesn't stop. It's not stopping. None of it's stopping. This is only murder. Like Molly Ivan said in her most recent column, you know, let's not go there again about the stress of combat on our soldiers. What the hell is the stress of combat mean when you herd women and children, little kids, into a room and then open fire on them? Oh, no. Mm-mm. This really is not happening, is it? No. This really is not happening. It can't be. Our military can't. Our soldiers, our young men can't be doing this sort of thing. Just can't. This cannot be happening.
For my dear children, their problems fail with love I share. I pray lives don't defy the tempest to bring them home from anywhere. I live my
And we're a country of deep compassion. We care. One of the great things about America, one of the beauties of our country, is that when we see a young, innocent child blown up by an IED, we cry.
We'll live together in the great land hereafter life. I'm lonesome for my precious children.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Listen up, people. The Ghanaian Vermont American Bits and Blades probably supports the Unmet Needs Program to help military families. Now lend your support. Hey, you can be flying on American Airlines to my celebrity golf weekend in Washington, D.C. and be part of a special tape and a mail call. So get moving. Look for my display and enter. By Vermont American, every purchase helps military families. Do it today or drop and give me 20. Semper Fi, carry on.
Hi, this is Julia Sweeney. In my new play, Letting Go of God, I come out clearly as an atheist, absolutely committed to keeping church and state separate. Won't you join me and the Freedom From Religion Foundation in waking up America to the growing dangers of theocracy? Phone 1-800-335-4021, that's 1-800-335-4021, or visit the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. That's ffrf.org.
Flying monkey right blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. What I mentioned at the top of the program tonight, I know you weren't here, but about two articles and one op-ed piece in today's Times. The Yesterday, the Bush administration said that the United States will engage itself with Iran in talks over its nuclear program. I'm pretty much quoting out of the Times. But only if Tehran first suspended its uranium activities, which are thought to be a cover for developing nuclear arms. This declaration by Condoleezza Rice was a shift away from decades of refusal to hold direct talks with Iran. But Iran has said it would not agree to preconditions, and the Bush administration's offer appeared to be aimed as much at placating American allies as at wooing Iran. So what has happened here, Bush and Condoleezza Rice made the offer, and she said that the offer now removed what she calls the last excuse for Iran to refuse to cooperate. What the offer is, this is of course it's insane. But the offer says that we'll sit down and talk to you about your nuclear program, but before we sit down and talk to you about your nuclear program, you've got to suspend your nuclear program. Iran has to suspend all of its uranium activities, everything. Everything has to be shut down, turned off, everything. Every single thing has to be brought to a complete halt. And the Bush crime family knows that the Iranians won't accept that. They know it. Iran has to suspend all of its activities regarding a nuclear anything, including shutting down every centrifuge that could add little grams of enriched uranium to Iran's, cup-sized stockpile so far. Now, to give you a flavor of how degenerate and insane the world sees George W. Bush, the Europeans and the Japanese said they were elated by Mr. Bush's turnaround. Oh, he's offered to talk to them. Oh. And even on this basis, according to David Sanger, writing for the Times, there was strong opposition from Dick Cheney. Several former officials said, quote, Cheney was dead set against it, said one former official who sat in many of the meetings. At its heart, this was an argument whether you could isolate the Iranians enough to force some kind of regime change. But three officials who were involved in the most recent iteration of that debate said Mr. Cheney and others stepped aside, perhaps because they read Mr. Bush's body language. Body language. In the end, said one former official who has kept close tabs on the debate, quote, it came down to convincing Cheney and others that if we are going to confront Iran, we first have to check the box of trying talks. These murderous bastards. So those were the two news items. Oh, well, the United States has made an offer to the Iranians. Jesus Christ, everybody in the world, stop what you're doing. You people in deepest, darkest Africa, you know, hunting for food out in your parched little farm plots. Stop. Listen. Bush and Rice have decided to hold talks with Iran. You people in Japan who are tending your flowers on the slopes of Mount Hiribachi. Stop. Listen. You people in the Pampas in the southern part of South America attending your cows. Stop! Listen! That's the way this is being presented. It's like Christ walking on the water. It's like the star over Bethlehem. Condoleezza Rice and George W. Bush have made an offer to the Iranians. Oh, we'll talk about your nuclear program as soon as you stop your nuclear program. Stop everything. Pull every plug. Pull everything and prove it. You funny-talking bastards, prove it. This is no offer, truth seeker. You know it and I know it. This is a lie. But guess how David Brooks, this neo-fascist right-wing columnist, very bright man, for the New York Times. Guess how he spun it? When we come back after this break, I want you to hear what David Brooks wrote. It's really incredible.
Someone who knew, and I'm telling pre-September, I lean on in the loop to help them and remember. I was flying on UA-93. That shadow in the footage, it was probably me. I'm the rumor, I'm the doubt, I'm the lie. But you wouldn't stand near me if you didn't want to die. Everything you know is wrong. There's a verse missing out of this song. Everything you know is wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that will help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org. A message from Air America Radio.
Whether you have health insurance or not, chances are you don't have dental or vision coverage. But now, with the Optimum Health Discount Card, you and your family can get substantial savings of up to 60% off every time you visit your dentist or eye care professional. Because this is not insurance, everyone is accepted, even if you or your family members have pre-existing conditions. For only $9.95 a month, you, your spouse, and your children are all covered. Your membership includes access to our combined nationwide network of over 100,000 participating dentists and eye care professionals on the iMed and Cigna Dental Networks. Call right now and you can try the Optimum Health Discount Card risk-free for 30 days. That's right, your membership entitles you to full access to the entire Cigna Dental Network and iMed Network for you to try risk-free for 30 days. Call our toll-free number now at 1-866-333-3000. That's 1-866-333-3000. Start saving up to 60% off now on all of your dental and vision care needs. Call 1-866-333-3000. Again, 1-866-333-3000.
Is your yard under attack from bugs? No matter. Let the science of Bayer Advanced protect your lawn, garden, and home. And now, your wallet, too. For a limited time, save $10 by mail on Complete Insect Killer for soil and turf for maximum pest protection. You'll also save on our 1.3-gallon Complete Insect Killer for gardens or home pest control, both with an easy-to-use battery-operated sprayer. Visit BayerAdvanced.com for details. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results.
We'll be right back.
boom, boom, boom. Bang, 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 bang. Boom, 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 boom. Bang, 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 bang. I love the way you walk.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, so we make an offer to the Iranian, not we, but Condoleezza Rice, speaking on behalf of George W. Bush, the psychopath that squats in the White House. Condoleezza Rice makes an offer to the Iranians. Yeah, we'll talk about your nuclear program as soon as you unplug your nuclear program. Now, there's your last chance. See, world, we've made an offer. Everybody pay attention. And the Europeans and the Japanese and the Chinese and the Russians. Oh, good! That's how poverty-stricken our diplomatic efforts to talk with anybody really are. We just bomb and kill or destabilize and overthrow, whatever. So, David Brooks, the Charles Krauthammer of the New York Times got all just very bizarre today with his column. He writes, yesterday, Condoleezza Rice announced her willingness to talk with Iran about nukes so long as Iran suspended its enrichment program first. As Robert Kagan of the Carnegie Endowment notes, in a swoop, the U.S. has put itself back in front of events. It's taken the initiative away from the Iranians and the Russians. Yesterday's policy shift really began in late April, as Rice returned from a visit to Baghdad and decided it was time to bring the dispute with Iran to a head. The European Union negotiations were dissolving into disharmony and confusion. There were some indications that Iran was accelerating its nuclear program. It was clear that Iran was winning. Rice decided to shake things up. What she had to do, to borrow the metaphor of one senior administration official, was to take the cue ball and smash it into all the other balls on the table and so open up room for future maneuvering. This in itself was a gutsy maneuver, for in deciding to get so active, she was essentially betting her career on her ability to deal with Iran. Quickly, President Bush and Rice agreed upon a course of action that was neither passivity nor bombing. They decided to accelerate the diplomatic process. Bush and Rice concluded that it was necessary to exhaust diplomatic alternatives in order to make international sanctions possible later. The U.S. had to remove everybody else's excuses for inaction. Bush and Rice told their European and Chinese allies they would be willing to talk with Iran so long as it was in the group, so long as the Iranians suspended their enrichment program, so long as the Europeans agreed to really stick by this precondition, and so long as the Europeans, Russians, and Chinese agreed in writing to a menu of sanctions to be imposed if talks never got off the ground. Bush and Rice have created a coherent policy. They have organized the Europeans, the Russians, and the Chinese around that policy. They have put Iran on the defensive and forced the different factions in the regime to argue about what sort of country they wish to become. Even the rollout was masterful. I called experts around the world yesterday afternoon, and all of them seemed to have just gotten off the phone with senior administration officials, and all were positive about what had been achieved. It's still hard to believe the international community can really get its act together, but this display of competence causes me to remember that over the past several weeks, this administration has done a number of things well, like the nominations of Michael Hayden and Henry Paulson, to name just two. That's the short version. What is this man talking about? It's just unbelievable. The whole thrust of David Brooks' column today is utter nonsense. It's crapola. It's just a big stinking heap of garbage. The offer itself is not an offer. It's a deliberate attempt to get the Iranians to say no, which they already have. They rejected it. Iranian officials have rebuffed Miss Rice's offer of direct talks, this also according to the New York Times, saying they will never accept the condition that they first suspend all uranium enrichment. Well, of course not. This is a dance. This is a dance macabre. These are skeletons dancing around each other with their bony fingers coming out from that drape, that shroud, just dancing fingers, and you can hear the bones rattling, and it's Bush and Rice. And it's Cheney and Rumsfeld, and you hear it, this dance macabre, this... And David Brooks writes, I don't know, when I finished reading the column, I thought, my God, did he have a handful of Kleenex handy so he could clean himself off after writing this? I don't think I have read anything. The first thought was it's masturbatory fantasy, and then I thought it's what's her name, Monica doing Clinton. I just had the feeling that when David Brooks got up off his knees from writing this column today, he must have just... How does he keep his self-respect? Rice and Bush. Condoleezza Rice was in Iraq, and she knew she had to do something. Oh, God, let me think. What to do? Let's make them an offer to talk, but let's word the offer in a way that they can't accept it. Oh, Christ, I'm a genius! Oh, this is brilliant! Now let me take it to that white boy, Chucklenuts, who's so in love with my brown butt. Let me take it to him and see what... Yeah, this is going to be easy to convince white boy. And this will save my job. I'm getting so tired of buying shoes. I'm getting so tired of jetting around with that evil, big-headed white man, Cheney. He scares me. But I like George, and George likes me. I just got to get him to sign off on it. This is great. We haven't talked to these Iranians in 30 years! We'll make him an offer. Hey, you want to talk? You do? First, before we sit down to talk, come here, open your mouth, and let me cut out your tongue. And then we'll sit down and talk. Fair enough? What? You're going to reject it? Why, you evil bastards, then we'll bomb you. This is just incomprehensible stuff. We have an out-of-control military that has been ordered, Jesus, God, to stand down. The entire 130,000 member expeditionary force that has invaded Iraq. Has this ever happened before? A stand down to be given a lecture on core warrior values because they're butchering too many children? Oh, not because they're butchering too many, but because word's getting out. Videos are showing up. And here at home, Cheney and Rice and Rumsfeld and Bush are concocting ways to begin another war. Let's make him an offer. Let's make him an offer they can't accept. And the astonishing part is that the Europeans and the Asians, are they that terrified of this sick little bastard in the White House and the people around him? I guess so. They rejoice! The parliaments of the UK and Germany and France and God knows where everything must have ground to a halt. Have you heard? and they all cock their heads and cup their ears and tilt a little bit to the left. Have you heard? Listen, listen. Condoleezza Rice and George Bush have made an offer to the Iranians. And in the Japanese diet, and whatever the hell it is in China, they all say, which loosely translates, listen. Bush and Cheney have made an offer. Or Bush and Rice. And then when you look at the offer, oh, we'll talk to you about your nuclear program. But first, unplug everything, destroy everything, dump it all into one of your quaint little rivers over there, and get rid of it, throw it away. Okay? All right? You ready to talk? Huh? Yes, we're insane, but we're America. We're a huge asylum over here. Have you heard the latest? We executed another 11 babies. The youngest was 6 months old, and one of our soldiers put a bullet in the back of his head. You want to talk? Want to talk about your nuclear program? Huh? Here, sit down.
I'm sure that Europe is a lovely place to visit. My wife would love to go there every single year. But they're just puffy.
Yep, 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 yep.
They need to suck their yips on big dogs over here. I will rule the world forever. I'm straight and white and male American and free.
Condoleezza, gentlemen, puffy.
Hello, Riley. Devolt systems about to start to me.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
making the pie higher. It's more of Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s huge piece in Rolling Stone about the theft of the 2004 election. Tonight, thanks to the folks who engineered the program in New York, Justin Yuen and Jason Isaac, also our associate producer in New York, Dee Neal, who handled your phone calls. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, White Rose Society, who archives the program, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, Catherine Bay is the executive producer. Two years ago, when the Iranians offered one hell of a deal to the Bush crime family, 2.5 years ago, Iran offered to accept peace with Israel and to cut off material assistance to Palestinian armed groups and to pressure those groups to halt terrorist attacks against Israel. That's the, according to a secret Iranian proposal to the United States, a two-page proposal, a copy of which was obtained by Interpress Service, was sent to the United States in late April or early May 2003. A specialist on Iranian foreign policy at Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies provided the document to Interpress Service. This foreign policy expert got it from an Iranian official earlier this year. The two-page document contradicts the official line of the Bush administration that Iran is committed to the destruction of Israel and the sponsorship of terrorism in the region. But when it was presented to the Americans got pissed off at the people who delivered it. In 2003, Bush refused to allow any response to the Iranian offer to negotiate an agreement that would have accepted the existence of Israel. Flint Leverett, then the senior specialist on the Middle East on the National Security Council staff, recalled in an interview that it was, quote, literally a few days, end quote, between the receipt of the Iranian proposal and the dispatch from the Bush crime family of a message to the Swiss ambassador expressing displeasure that he had forwarded to Washington. This country is being run by people who are literally insane. So 3 years ago, I wonder to what degree the Israeli intelligence knew about this. If somebody in the Bush administration burps, Mossad knows about it. If somebody in Iran writes up a document like this and sends it on through diplomatic channels to the United States, Mossad knows about it. They have to. They must. I'm not passing judgment on the fact that they know about it. I'm just saying they do. The Mossad is not the Department of Homeland Security for the United States. They are not the CIA. They are not FEMA. They are not the NSA. They are not the DIA. Love him or hate him, the Mossad works. So here was the offer 3 years ago. And now this phony, whatever you want to call it, put out there by Condoleezza Rice, the piece today by David Brooks, which one of the most atrocious things I think I've ever read in the so-called newspaper of record. New York Times ought to be ashamed of itself for publishing an op-ed piece like that without some sort of clarification by the public editor. Maybe just the fact that it's an op-ed piece means that David Brooks can say any damn thing he wants. I'm just being over the top here, because what David Brooks wrote was the op-ed piece equivalent. I can't finish that statement. I've already kind of alluded to it. But when all these pieces are put together, are you not getting a little bit nervous, Truth Seeker? I mean, seriously, are you not getting just a tad jumpy around the edges? And I'm not referring to hardcore civil libertarians or people who believe in human rights. You and I have been just blown away by what this filthy crime family has done. But I'm just talking about folks who kind of give passing notice to what's going on. You know, they check out the evening news or read the paper, and they see this stuff and go, oh, my God, what's this? And it doesn't stop. It's not stopping. It's not abating. There's no let-up. The entire 130,000-member U.S. military that is illegally occupying another country, Iraq, has been ordered to stand down to get a lecture or a reiteration of core values where it concerns the proper way to kill people and who is to die and the proper way to blow up buildings and which buildings are to be blown up. They're having to tell our soldiers that it is not proper to execute 5-year-old children, 4-year-old children, 6-month-old babies. Is that what this voluntary military is about? Is that where we are? And Rice and Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld want more of this. They want it in Iran now. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
Listen up, people. The Ghanaian Vermont American Bits and Blades probably supports the Unmet Needs Program to help military families. Now lend your support. Hey, you can be flying on American Airlines to my celebrity golf weekend in Washington, D.C. and be part of a special taping of mail call. So get moving. Look for my display and enter. By Vermont American, every purchase helps military families. Do it today or drop and give me 20. Semper Fi, carry on.